Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNRadio.com/Behind the Badge.
Oh, what a beautiful morning. Oh, what a beautiful day. I got a beautiful feeling. Everything's going my way.
But is it really?
I've got a problem.
Yeah, I got a problem with a toilet.
We have a big problem.
We have come up with grubs, and nothing seems to be helping.
I have a toilet that when I flush it and the water comes back up, it whistles.
Got a problem? Have a question? You're not the only one.
Is there anything you can do to help me?
There sure is. Call Lou Manfredini here on the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN.
Well, good morning. Today you will not be calling Lou Manfredini, unfortunately. You will be calling me, Brian Noonan, in for Lou this morning. Good to be with you from the Allstate Showcase Studio on beautiful Michigan Avenue. People out already. It's so very early on a Saturday morning, but very, very nice to be here. I am not going to be answering your questions, so have no fear. If you're slamming the phone down going, oh, I know Noonan, there is absolutely no chance that he can help me. And I know Sam and Domati are not going to be able to jump in with plumbing or electrical issues. Good morning, gentlemen. Good to
morning.
See you. Domati, this is our first time working together. Your reputation precedes you. I'm very excited.
Oh, that is awesome.
Yeah.
That is awesome. I'm excited to work with you this
morning.
Well,
listen, set your expectations low and you will not be disappointed, my friend. That's how we...
That's how that works.
Sam will tell you. Sam and I go way back. Sam, it's not even a holiday.
I know. I missed you on the 3rd and 4th.
Really? You were out enjoying yourself. I don't know how that works.
Yeah, sometimes it happens. Every 5 years, I get a holiday off.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of that.
No.
You know that? I'm a big guy. I've got that old Puritan work ethic. You got to be here. It doesn't matter. Holidays, Saturday mornings, Sunday nights, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter. Well, good to see you. So anyway, back to how, don't worry, I'm not going to be trying to answer your fix-it questions because I have admitted that I am inept at just about everything, but I have... two guys who've been here before. I've had the pleasure of being here with them before when Lou has not been here. Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry Remodelers and Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises. Gentlemen, good morning. Thank you for coming in.
Good morning, Brian.
And it is a good morning, isn't it?
It is a good morning.
Yeah,
listen,
out there today.
My feet hit the floor and I was able to get up. That's a good morning. as I said, set your expectations low. Hey, my eyes open. All right. Step one. We're good. Let's
Time
start
to celebrate.
Yeah. So I appreciate you guys being here. Did you enjoy your holiday?
Did enjoy it. It was very good. Weather was good. Yeah. Fireworks were good. Barbecue. It's all good.
Are you a fireworks viewer, or are you one of these guys who is in the backyard going, hey, watch this?
No, I am a viewer.
That's probably
I am
best.
A viewer.
How about you, Mike?
I'm actually neither.
Oh, you don't like them at all?
Yeah, I like them, but I have a couple of dogs. They don't care for them, so we stay with the dogs. And,
okay.
We just hang out, and you know what? When you work all the time, it's
yes.
nice to just be able to sit home with the family and take it easy and
yeah.
relax, you know.
From our house, we were able to see a lot of neighborhood attractions.
Yeah.
A lot
yeah.
of things going on. Lindsay, what did you do? Did you do anything fun?
Hi.
Hi,
we
good
were
morning.
In, good
Lindsay's
morning.
Like,
I know, what about me?
Why
That's not why I was raising
me?
My hand. I was actually
was.
Stretching.
I think you were. Like, hey, I'm part of this
well,
team. I was saving you for the... You know, best for last.
Well, what I was
no
going to say actually
fellas.
Was I already messed up today. Sorry. I
How?
Did, well, it, our news was yes. sponsored by my friends at Builder's Supply Outlet.
I already said
you
that.
You did? Okay. Because
yes.
I didn't hear it. And I didn't want them
bad.
To be mad at me.
No,
He's
we love
sorry,
Builder's
Tom.
Supply Outlet. We
All
love
right.
them.
We were in Green Bay with my in-laws. It was great.
Oh, Green Bay for the 4th of July.
Yeah. Oh, it is Fair. Like tried and true country American living.
What
Their fireworks were being lit off literally at the house next door. We could see the lighter, the match going down to light the fireworks.
That's always good.
It's and a little then, scary, but sure. it was cool.
That's the grassroots 4th of July.
Yes.
Yeah. yeah, standing up by the barn with the hose
exactly.
going, please.
It was so fun.
Oh, I don't want
great.
Anything horrible to happen. It's football aside, Green Bay is a nice town.
It
I've
is.
Always had a good time in Green Bay.
People are fantastic. It's a very nice
yeah.
town.
They do love their foot like year round.
They
it's,
do love
it's
their
crazy
football.
It's like Take a break. We're in the off season. There's no off season in
Green
Bay.
It's normal there to go to a restaurant and see people with face paint on in the middle of March.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Like, wait a minute. It's Easter.
It'd be weird if you didn't see people that were lined up with gold and green. And it's fun, though.
But, yeah, it is fun. Well, I'm glad to be with all of you. And, of course, you at 312-981-7200. That's the phone. That's the text. That's how you get your questions answered by Mike Holmes and Jim Sullivan. And you never know, guys. I might jump in with some advice. It's going to be bad advice. But
we're here to help.
Exactly.
We're here to help.
I'm going to give the advice, and then you can correct it. And you just go, this guy's completely nuts. So let's start with the first call, shall we? We've got Bernie, who is in Sun Prairie, speaking of Wisconsin, in Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, good morning, Brian. Gee whiz. You know, my wife's been a loyal listener of Lou's for years and years and years, and she told me this morning, you better call Lou and get the answer to the question. My siding is getting to be a little bit dirty. And I said, you know, which one was that Lou recommended? And she said, I don't remember. You better call him. So, Brian, here I am. What's the answer to my question?
Mike, you look like you know.
Well, if it's what I think it is, it's the wet and forget. You have
that sounds,
like
that sounds right. Is it like moss and mildew on
mildew
your
on your siding?
Yeah, a little bit of dirt and
well, I
not
do
quite
know
and mildewy yet, but
I do know for a fact that if it's mildew, if it's got kind of that green tinge to it, and you spray it on there, it goes away because I've tried it on my house and it works great.
Oh, is that right? I have some of that on my garage too. Wet and forget.
Yep, you just spray it on and go away, and it's gone.
Then you forget about it.
I can't forget that. Right?
Well, I don't think it goes away right away. I think it works with the wind and the rain, according to the library. It works with the wind and the rain, and then over time it will. Yeah.
But you don't have to do anything more with it.
You don't have to scrub. You don't have to get the toothbrush out and go all.
But I do want to ask one thing.
Because I'm beyond that part.
You said that your wife was a loyal listener for years, but you didn't say you were.
Right.
So now I feel like I shouldn't have answered
the
question for you.
She has the radio on Saturday morning, so she's listening to it, and I'm getting it sort of, you know, vicariously.
Okay. All right.
She's managing the project.
I was going to say, there's one radio, and this is it.
There's always a foreman and then a worker.
Sure.
Know,
so.
Well, that's true.
It's very state-run radio at your house, Bernie. I don't know. We listen to one station to one station only.
When we were dating, so you know, I have some responsibility there.
Happy wife, happy life thing.
Exactly.
Right? Well, that's very much the package. Yes, indeed.
I live by that rule.
Good luck with your siding, Bernie. We hope it all comes out or comes off.
Comes off, yes.
Wet and forget. Wet and forget.
Okay.
Take
we
care,
can't
Bernie.
Forget that. Thank you, Brian.
Shut up. Take it easy. You caught that, Mike. I was going to let that slide, but I'm glad
I won't.
You
no, I'm in
no,
the mood today.
Shouldn't.
I'm not going to let it slide.
Yeah. Oh, my
loyalty
wife.
Counts here.
My wife always listens. Me, I have no use for it. What? But I had to call.
I never listen, as my wife would say. You're never listening.
You're never listening. Well, at least his wife must let him use the phone. She doesn't let him touch the radio, but you can dial the phone because I'm too busy guarding the radio. Let's take a quick break, and then we will get some more of your questions. 312-981-7200. At 7:50, we do have a new to Lou 2, so that'll be very exciting. And Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry Remodelers and Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises are here to answer all your questions. I just push the buttons and facilitate, but, you know, that's the fun part, too. So we'll do this, and then there's more on WGN.
This is Nick Offerman. Now for some more. This is Nick Offerman. Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WD. Son of a... Now back to some good, clean fun with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show, sponsored by PermaSeal Basement Systems, Ace Hardware, and Dykstra Home Services. Brian Noonan in for Lou this morning, joined by Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry Remodelers and Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises. We are taking your calls and answering your questions, and by we, I mean they, at 312-981-7200. I just had the guys over here staring at a picture that was texted in, because you can text your questions as well. We have a wood floor in our kitchen that shows high wear in areas. It's not throughout the entire floor, mainly the table area from the chairs. Is there anything to do to restore those areas without refinishing the entire floor? And a very helpful thing, the texter sent us a picture so you guys could see what they were talking about. So what do you think?
Well, for one, I didn't know you could text pictures to here. So that's new.
This
that's
is
new
high
to me.
Tech.
So I actually
it's
like
not
that.
Always a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, I like that. I like that idea. So many times I'm trying to visualize in my head, and so you know, pictures worth a thousand words. Just looking at that picture, it looks like there might be some water damage there as well. I can see some roller marks in there and some
that color. It's dark, usually from the minerals in the water when water sits on it.
Oh, okay.
And it takes that oak and it just makes it black almost.
Yeah, it almost looks like in front of a dishwasher or something, that picture. Yeah.
And when it's that bad, even using wood bleach, you won't get that out of there.
What I would recommend is it looks like – I've seen this before where people have like rollers on their chairs and it just kills the wood floors. And something to consider – you know, if you're at the point where it's refinish or replace or whatever, something to consider in those type of areas, some of these newer vinyl floors are much more designed to take that kind of abuse from wheels or sliding chairs and stuff like that. And there are some vinyl products out there now that you can't tell, even I can't tell the difference.
It's what we call premium vinyl. The only time you're going to really notice the difference, I mean, obviously, if you're new and you're looking at it, or if you had a wood floor next to a vinyl floor like they made up, then you might notice it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, some of those, you come in, oh, that's a gorgeous wood floor, and it's not wood.
And these are different from, like, the old Pergo floors and stuff like
that? Yeah,
that's
a laminate floor.
Okay.
So that's going to be a high-pressure plastic kind of finish on
it. And the vinyl is just like the one sheet of vinyl?
Not one sheet. No. It's usually
it
like
goes
the wood.
In, yeah, it goes in like planks.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, okay. It's sold like a 3-inch by 3-foot plank.
See, that's why you guys are here.
Yeah.
But what they have in that picture, though, my guess is the only way they're going to even get close to – they may not even get that out of there is to refinish the floor completely, and it's going to have to go sanded all the way down, and they still may have to do some wood bleaching on it to lighten up that dark. That's hard to get out.
Is it a good idea to have a real wood floor in a kitchen where there's water and spills and all that kind of stuff? Does it matter?
It's not a problem as long as you keep it up. I mean, if you – get water on the floor and you leave it. One of the big culprits I see is when people put potted plants on the floor.
Or a
plastic, you know, I'll put the plastic tray under it. Plastic and wood do not go together.
Just holds the moisture, right?
Well, no, there's a reaction from the plastic to the wood, and it'll change the colors of it too. So if you're going to do one of those plastic liners, I always say put a felt pad on the bottom of it to keep it off of there. But, when they put the potted plants and that moisture seeps through, and then you'll have the ring. You always see those rings on the wood floor. And so now you got to always put something there.
Yeah.
So.
Oh, see, I'm glad you guys are here. My advice would have been a rug.
That works.
You know what'll work? Rug. It's going to look good. Everything's going to pulls the room together. Everything looks dandy. Right.
It's hard to slide a chair, though, on a rug.
Well, what do you do? You stand up. You move the chair by hand.
Yeah, you do the old shuffle.
Yeah, yes. That's what I do on my rug in my kitchen. all right, let's get to Larry. He's got a water heater question. He's in Bartlett. Hi, Larry. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, gentlemen. By the way, Mike, this is Larry. You fixed a hole in my wall a couple of months ago.
Good
question morning. I have for you guys is from my basement through to the attic, I've got a 2-foot square or a 4-foot square chase. It's 2x2 that the exhaust pipes from my furnace and water heater used to run through. The house is like 35 years old. I've since replaced the furnace with a high efficiency, so I've got that PVC pipe that just goes out through the crawl space and then dumps into the backyard. Is there an equivalent, I'm not sure how to define this, a water heater that doesn't need a stack going up? Because if I can get 4 square feet for the pantry and my wife's closet, she will be, well, less unhappy with me. I won't say more happy.
Yeah, they do make the energy efficient water heaters also. So, yeah, you can do that.
It's called a when you call your plumber, it's called a power vent.
Yes.
So if you just tell them you're looking for a 40 gallon or whatever size, you're looking for a power vent.
It'll look basically like what you have now, but it has it's a little black blower motor on the very top of it. But you can certainly do that and then regain that space.
Okay, well, I've been told that water, that kind of heater is good for, like, maybe a kitchen sink or a washing machine, but not for the whole house.
Oh, no, no, they make them for a whole house. Unless you're thinking of tankless. On-demand.
Yeah, you're probably thinking tankless. The power vent, they have 40 standard 40-gallon hot water heaters or 50-gallon or whatever you're looking for in a power vent, and, like, just what you're looking for. It ducts out the side, just like your furnace would. But they also have tankless units, which also can vent out the side as well.
Yeah. The tankless is nice because it's more energy efficient, and you can do a whole house with it if you get a large enough one. But the changeover from one to the other, it does get costly. It'll take a little while to regain that money, recoup it.
Okay. Well, yeah, but making my wife happy with me would probably outweigh that kind of a...
Well, you can still do the tank water heater, just like what you have, but get one with a power vent.
A power vent.
Yes.
Okay, thank you guys very much.
You're welcome.
All right, good luck. Well, real quick, because Lindsay's already telling me to break. is there a benefit to one over the other, the tank's water heater with the power vent as opposed to the tankless,
I like the tankless because it's hot water. It heats up the water right away. It doesn't, your typical water heater, you're going to heat up that water, and it keeps heating it until you use it. So you're constantly heating that water whether you're using it or not. The tankless, it only heats it when the water flow starts going, but it heats it up immediately.
I always think you never run out of hot. Yeah, and I'll be quick, Lindsay. I always think this way. I always explain it to people when we're talking about tankless. Think of if you're making pasta and you've got maybe you're having company and you've got the big, huge pot of water on the stove.
Right.
Try and keep that at 140 degrees.
Oh.
Think of how much energy it takes just to keep that pot of water on your stove hot. Now think of a 40-gallon hot water heater. It's the same concept. It's got to keep it at 140 degrees and think of the energy that takes to do that.
And you said real quick, Mike, that the changeover would be – it's tough to make the changeover?
Well, the unit's more expensive, and then you have to replumb everything to make it work right. But there's more cash outlay to change into a tankless than to replace a tank heater. But in the long run,
so if you're
going to
be somewhere for a long time,
might
be worth it.
And the warranty on a tankless is a lot longer as well. These days, you're lucky to get about 7 years out of a standard hot water heater. The warranty on a tankless is 15 years usually on the heat exchanger, which that's twice as long as they're expecting a standard hot water heater to last. So,
all right, we got to go because Lindsay's going to come in and remake the riot act. Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises is here. Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry Remodelers is here. I'm Brian Noonan. We'll get to the news after this. WGN.
Let's get to know the house, huh? Okay, let's start with this baby right here. What are we looking at, huh?
Photosynthesis.
In a sense. Yeah, photosynthesis converts carbon dioxide into food for plants. This water heater converts cold water into hot.
Don't know much about how your house works? Don't worry, me neither. You're listening to the Mr. Fix-It Show with Lou Manfredini on 720 WGN.
It is the Mr. Fix-It Show. Lou is off today. It's Brian Noonan in for Lou, joined by Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises. TateENT.com is his website. And Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry Remodelers, creativecarpentry.net. Those are the websites. Those are the experts. I'm asking you as many questions as you are. I just get their undivided attention when we're not on the air, so it's very nice. I'm getting my own estimates, my own information here. But we want to help you out. That's the deal. 312-981-7200. This time of year, now we're in the second half kind of summer, unfortunately, to say. What are the big things you guys are seeing people start to go, I've got to start thinking about the fall maybe?
Actually, I'm just amazed everybody is back into wanting to do the improvements. I think you're seeing the economy kind of change and people are spending money again. Back in 2008, it was like, necessity. That's all we did was necessities. Nobody did any big ticket items or anything. Okay. And now people are starting to feel comfortable, I think. So I can't really say that there's one project that they're looking into, but they're looking into doing things
now. That's good news.
So that's good, yeah.
Yeah, for me, like this time of year, it's a lot of exterior stuff, stuff you just can't get to, 4 or 5 months out of the year. So, roofing issues, flashing issues, painting the exterior, like all that kind of stuff is kind of what is really dominant right now. Interior modeling can be done any time of the year, but the outside stuff has to be done this time of year. If it's not done this summer, then it doesn't get done till next summer, you know?
Yeah.
So a lot of that is scheduling it early because, like, I know my painter, he's booked out pretty much for this entire summer
already. Oh, wow.
Yeah. So
no procrastinating.
No.
We were talking earlier. Everybody that I talk to in the industry is swamped.
That's good.
They are booked, and it's going to be harder and harder to get people to do the work. Let alone, I always say though, if it's a busy time of year and you get somebody who can be there tomorrow and do it, you might want to question that one a little bit more. I'm not saying that he's bad because maybe he had a break in his schedule or whatever.
Sure,
but
somebody canceled or something. But
when somebody can start it right away, I'm always a little cautious. You know, did you check that they have their insurance, workman's comp liability, all of that kind of stuff? But right now, it seems that everybody has just got more work than they can handle, and it reflects it. You know, some people get irritated because they make a phone call and want somebody to come out right away, and they can't.
Right.
You know, it's all right. I'd rather just not make it, and, you know, say we can't do it than screw up their schedule. I had a gentleman call yesterday, wanted a bunch of windows, and said, I can't get to it. I gave him another contractor because I'm too busy to get to him.
That's a good problem to have, though.
It is, but you don't want to turn people
down.
Right,
exactly.
Either. You know, if he was an existing client, it would have been different. He was a new client, but
that's a testament to, you know, telling young people, hey, think about the trades because there's a lot of work. There's always going to be a lot of work, and you know, stay busy all the time.
Everybody, we were saying earlier too. Everybody wants to get into computers and all that.
Sure.
Well, that market's getting flooded. You're not going to make the money there. And we are dry, having people in the trades. Nobody wants to do it anymore. And we're going to be the, you know, the doctors and surgeons down the road. You know,
well, there's always things are always going to need to be built and repaired and installed. Right. So it makes sense. But you're right, everybody wants these glamorous jobs where I could I could work in my pajamas from home. Why would I want to put on boots? I guess for some people, I don't want to go out and sweat and maybe get a sliver. That'd be horrifying. I'm not getting into that line of work.
Well, and you also have at the same time, like Mike was saying, I mean, everybody's busy, but at the same time, you know, you're coming off of the recession where a lot of people got out of the building trades because it dried up.
Right.
There wasn't much work. Sure. And like Mike was saying a little bit ago, is that, you know, just glad people are starting to think about these larger projects again. So you've got that kind of issue also where you're trying to find people now to fill those spots where, you know, 7 years ago, the market was pretty flooded with people that could do the work. Now it's not so much.
No.
Especially qualified people. Like
I was
going
to say, you guys have been doing it a long time. You hire people who've been doing things a long time. I'm sure it varies from case to case, but how long does it take for somebody to become really good? I mean, to become a union plumber or electrician, there's a whole long process of apprenticeship and everything else, right?
But I do believe that part of it is just a talent.
Yeah.
I mean, you can train anybody to do anything, but I think you have to kind of have it in you a little bit. Because you have to have that drive and that creative ability and problem solving kind of stuff. But part of it is just it's in your soul to do it.
Right. Well, that's it. I think that it's like it. Some people have innate musical talent. Some people are just handy and mechanical, and other people have other skills. Yeah. And that's,
don't ask me to do my books because I'm terrible with that part. But you put me in a room that has some issues and they're trying to solve it, then I'm in my zone, you know.
And that's why we are so thankful to have guys like you around, because there's a lot of us who have other talents, and the mechanical is not one of them. Mike Holmes is here, Creative Carpentry Remodelers, creativecarpentry.net, and Jim Sullivan is here, Tate Enterprises, tateent.com. Let's solve some other problems. Now, we were talking about water heaters right before the news, and Mike, you were extolling the virtues of the tankless. Rosemary has a question or an issue with some tankless. Hi, Rosemary.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes, I have a fairly new tankless water heater that was put in by a plumber that I've had for years. And I have to turn on the water and maybe wait a minute to close to 2 minutes sometimes for the water to get hot.
Yeah. Well, there's two ways you can do the system, and because it's an existing home, they they can't. You can put in what they call a loop, and that kind of just keeps the water circulating. But you really can't do that in an existing home. You just probably have a faucet far away from that tank. And, you know, when you're not using the water that's sitting in that pipe between the tank and your faucet is getting cold, and the pipes get cold. So once you get the water flowing and the tankless system is activated and hot water starts coming, it's not only got to get that hot water from the tank to the faucet, but it also is starting to warm up that pipe because the pipe's cold. So that's why it might take a little while. One thing you can do if it's accessible is wrap any of the water pipes that you can in insulation. They make like a foam tube that you can slip over the pipe. But that's about all you're going to be able to do just because of the physics of it.
One other suggestion. If it's a bathroom, you can also try turning on multiple faucets. It will clear the line faster. Okay. So like Mike said, if you're far away, the faster you can clear the cold water out of your hot water lines, the quicker you'll have hot water. So if it's a time issue, open up a tub valve or something like that.
You got two sinks, open both of them.
Open both up, and now you're moving faster. Water's moving faster through the pipes.
Well, that's a suggestion that I never thought. I know when I do my dishwasher, I turn on the sink.
Yep. Yeah. Same concept.
And wait till it's hot.
Yep. Same concept. I have a tankless at my house. It's just, I have the same issue.
And you would have that same issue even if you had a tank system.
You would.
Right. Yep. Well, hope that helps, Rosemary.
Well, thank you very much.
Have Good a luck. Great day.
Take care.
You too. Thank you. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right, gentlemen, I am going to we're going to keep a tally of how many stupid questions I ask. I'm going to say up front, this may be
30.
We could be 30 in at this point, and we're only 40 minutes into the show, so that's pretty good. This may be the dumbest, but I'm sure I'm not the only one. I hear tankless water heater system. Mm-hmm. All right, we're all, those of us with a tank, I know where my water heater is. I know how to check the pile. All right, so I get that. I hear tankless, weird. Does the water just come in from, instead of going into a tank, is it just a series of pipes? How does it, where's the water coming from?
It's about the size of a suitcase,
okay,
and it sits on your wall.
Hangs on your wall.
Hangs on your wall.
Unless your house fell inside.
Right, then I just lay it there and pray.
It hangs on the wall. It can go pretty much in any location in your house. Primarily, we put them in the basement because that's where the tankless, or that's where your water heaters were located before. Right. Mike corrected me. I was saying hot water heater, which I guess they don't make a cold water
redundant.
Heater.
Right.
So at any rate.
Love when contractors fight.
So anyway, it hangs on your wall. The cold water goes in just like it would on your standard water heater. And it has a series of pipes inside. If you remove the cover off of
it,
you would
coil.
See. It's like a coil, and it just wraps around. It kind of works really similarly to your furnace. So think of air flowing through your furnace, and you've got these burners underneath, and they're making the air hot. Same concept. It's just that this is doing it with water through a series of pipes. And so you have a heat exchanger in there, and it's heating up these water pipes and making hot water. The one of the things about a tankless unit, though, that you have to think about is, and I was thinking about when the lady was talking, is they use a ton of gas. So mine, the one I have, runs at about 190,000 BTUs, which is how gas usage is measured. My furnace, I think, uses about 120,000 BTUs. So you can see it's a lot of gas when it's being used. But the upshot is it's only being used when you need hot water. So, yes, it uses a lot, but it's only being used when it's making hot water.
Huh. All right. Well, look at that. See? Now I feel more educated.
Yeah. We're one of the last countries actually to switch over to this technology. Yeah, most other countries are using tankless units.
Is it just that we're so entrenched in the old methodology that we're...
My guess is, I don't know for a fact, but I would guess that we are a society that we don't like the change so much. Now, the younger people are starting to do it more, but us older people, we're like, it's worked this way all the time. Why change it?
That's exactly right.
Yeah, we're just, all right, this is how we heat water.
Yeah.
That's the way it goes.
Yeah.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a new Tulu 2. This is very exciting. Mike, actually, as Lindsay told us what it was, Mike said, I just bought one of these. What is it? Well, you're going to have to wait. We'll tell you after this on WGN.
this is going to sound funny. I'm really glad I'm a man.
Why?
And I want you to take this in the right way, but it was really hot outside. I wish I could wear a dress. Because I bet it's really comfortable when it's hot.
So you think that like a little breeze would feel good?
Right. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, Lou, go ahead. I mean, who's going to stop you? I'm just a summer girl. I wear my flip-flops when I let my hair down. The party never stops. Who needs a boyfriend? I got my girlfriend. When we get together, the summer never ends.
Listen, Lou, be who you are. I was wearing a kilt last night. I'll be wearing a kilt starting at 11 o'clock this morning.
Oh, that's right.
That's right. So boys, you're looking at me like I'm crazy or like suddenly I've fallen, which I didn't think was possible, fallen a little bit in your estimation. You put on one of these things and you're like, this is what all the fuss is about. Everything's, oh, man, it's wonderful. Wonderful.
Yeah, but they don't make summer kilts. So they're all wool.
No, that's not true.
Really?
They actually, for you guys, they have, and I'm not an endorser, Utila kilt is made for tradesmen. It's
yes.
got
I've heard of these.
The belt loop or for hammers and pockets, and they're made of a nice canvas so you can be working around.
But you have power tools.
Well, it's the same as, what are you, how are you holding the power tools down by your calves?
Well, you know, you just, that's one of those things you got to be kind of careful.
Yeah, but they'd cut through jeans. A power tool would go right through jeans, too.
There's the old joke about, you know.
I've never seen you guys squirm before. This is very exciting.
Well, I'm having some visual things in my head here.
So
and I'm
am
thinking,
I.
All right,
yeah,
I'll change
crack.
Before the last break yes. so you can
so
see.
Funny.
So you can see.
That's why one reason, not that I love it when Lou's off, but he normally does his own board. So when he's off,
oh,
and I can play
to,
all these.
Play
I can
all
play all
the
these spots
stuff.
That we never, or rejoins that we never play.
Because he doesn't want to be reminded of the day he longed for female attire.
He did say it.
That's the problem with saying it here. It's like Twitter.
Right?
It stays around forever.
It's there forever, yes.
There forever. All right, it is time for New to Lou 2. And Lindsay has been, she's been working hard to find something exciting. Shaking your head, no?
Well, we've actually featured this before, it was a couple years ago, but it's kind of taken off since. Clearly, Mike even had heard about it and just recently bought one himself, so I thought it was so cool, and with the summer here, I thought it would be a good one.
It is called Insect Shield. It's an insect and mosquito repellent. It's insect and mosquito repellent clothing that repels mosquitoes, ticks, ants, flies, chiggers, and midges.
Midges. Those are
midges.
Killers. Yeah.
I am terrified of midges. They lurk in my backyard. Lindsay has some fun audio to play.
Yep, summer is here. The sunshine, green grass, long lake weekends, camping, and bugs. We are all too familiar, especially this summer with all the concern over the Zika virus. But with two little kids, and even for myself, I'm always trying to find the safest, least chemical-filled sprays or lotions or whatever to put on my skin. Well, this weekend's New to Lou 2 lets you not worry about the dangers of applying potentially harmful bug spray on your skin. Instead, they've designed insect repellent infused clothing and gear that effectively places bug spray near your skin. The company I'm talking about? Well, it's called Insect Shield. Insect Shield clothing and gear has built-in odorless insect repellency that lasts through 70 washes. That's right. It is the first ever bug repellent clothing registered by the U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and will protect from mosquitoes, ticks, ants, flies, chiggers, midges, including those that can carry dangerous diseases such as Lyme and the Zika. The bug repellent gear can be laundered like any other gear, and it's approved for both adults and children, including pregnant women, also kids of any age, and even your pets. They offer a huge variety of clothing, blankets, bandanas, hats, socks, all sorts of outdoor gear. And like I said, great for camping, the lake, the pools, Ravinia, fishing, even just the backyard. You've got to check their stuff out. Check out insectshield.com. They've got plenty to offer. I'll put all the information up on Lou's Mr. Fix-It page on WGNradio.com. Also up on his Facebook page. You've just got to search him out. Lou Manfredini. Like him. That's this week's New to Lou 2.
And New to Lou 2 is sponsored by Commonwealth Edison. We thank them. So Lindsay brought this in. I'm looking at a blanket. Mike, you said you saw this. You're like, well, we just bought some of this.
Actually, L.A. found it online, and we live and we're like surrounded by nature preserve in our backyard. And there's always the bugs, you know. Yeah. That's one thing you have to deal with. And so she bought a couple of the shirts and a couple of bandanas, and we haven't tried them. We just got them.
Yeah.
But I figure, you know, we'll wear the shirts, the dogs will wear the bandanas, and everybody will be protected. So I'm kind of curious to see how it works. But now, Lindsay was just saying that they originally did this for the military.
Oh, okay. Oh, right.
Right. So this was originally, I think originally, so it, the ingredient, I guess, is called permethrin.
Right.
And they embed this permethrin into the military, all military uniforms, since for a long time. I know. I think it's since the 70s, since a long time.
And nobody's deformed or anything from it, so it
so
must
far,
be safe.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's apparently approved for children, dogs, pets, pregnant women,
very
young,
nice.
Old. Yeah.
And have you used it? Because you said you did this, introduced this a while ago, and it's effective?
So I have a blanket, and I took it to the beach the other day, and it was really cool because all these bugs were coming onto it, and you could actually see them. And when they landed on this blanket, you could see them kind of shrivel up.
They die that fast?
Yeah, I mean,
well,
I mean, they kind of walk,
it lures them in, and they kill them.
They get slower, and then they stop.
So, are you and the kids just sitting around watching your bug devastation?
Yeah, it was like a science experiment. It was very cool, though.
It's like a mad science experiment.
But and my favorite one is they have these it's like a scarf or a wrap for I mean, anybody could wear it, I guess.
Lou wears them all the time.
With his dress,
with
sure.
With a skirt, right.
Exactly.
But it's like I mean, you would never know, and it's just like a scarf that you wrap around your neck, and it's kind of got this effect around you.
You have an aura.
Aura.
I know people will say, and I can't smell it, but is there a smell?
Aaron,
and you guys
no
said
scent.
No.
There's no scent.
And it lasts for like 70 washings, mm-hmm. although if I didn't wash a shirt for 70 washings, I probably wouldn't need the repellent
anymore. Right, exactly. you wouldn't be attracting anything. People, animals, midges. Even the midges would say, we can't get involved in that. So very cool. It is, it's an insect shield repellent gear, and they have everything for you, your pets. You want a blanket? You want to sit on the beach and watch bugs die by the carload like Lindsay does? Mm-hmm. It sounds good.
And did you mention, Mike, maybe did you just say this, how you can send in your clothing?
No, you mentioned that earlier. I thought that was a great
idea. Right, so if you've got like your favorite gardening shirt or
a kilt?
Like you said something.
What about a kilt? Yeah.
Well, somebody
a kilt?
Said something earlier about a shirt that you work on the job.
If you had a company that worked exterior all the time.
Right.
You know,
a landscaper,
and
a
just
painter.
You order your shirts with your logo and then send it to them. Your guys don't have the bugs flying all over them.
Yep.
It's a great idea.
You can send it in. They'll insect shield your clothing and then they'll send it back to you.
So check them
Bug
out.
Free.
Insect shield. There's your new to Lou, too. That sounds terrific. Yeah, I'm going to check if they'll do my kilt, Jim.
Yeah, I think that's one area you would want to make sure.
I'm
going to
have to make sure they do the inside because that's where you get the
midges
the
love
traffic.
That area.
Oh, the midges get up in there. And
you don't want
it ruins
ticks
the night.
In there or things like that. Yeah.
There's very few things I want in there. And if, you know, I'm not going to use any sort of insect repellent to keep them away. I'm going to use some liquid attractive.
Okay, I think
you know
we
what
need
I mean.
To move along.
Yeah, all right, let's move along.
It's
gentlemen.
Getting a little creepy.
Really, is it? All right, we're going to take a quick break. On the other side of the news, we'll get back to more of your questions. 312-981-7200. Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises is here. It's TateENT.com. And Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry Remodelers, CreativeCarpentry.net. They are our experts this morning. I'm pushing the buttons, which I'll do right now on WGN.
Hi, it's Brian Noonan, and you're listening to Mr. Fix-It Lou Manfredini. You know, one time Lou helps me fix a flat tire. Now, every time I see him, he demands a back rub. It's not right, Lou. Not right!
I throw my hands up in the air sometimes, saying, hey, oh.
That's why I was so happy to be here today, because Jim and Mike don't ask for back rubs. They just beg me to stop telling kilt stories, that's all. Mike Holmes from Creative Carpentry Remodelers is here. Jim Sullivan from Tate Enterprises is here. I'm Brian Noonan in for Lou, who will be back next week. Lindsay is here. Lindsay's got her hands up. She's doing her
stretching.
Dance. No,
I do this all. You can even ask Lou.
She does. She always like, hey, I'm stretching. Do you remember I'm here? Yes. Lindsay is always working hard.
Don't forget about me.
I'm kidding.
She's like the inflatable thing in Family Guy. Yeah. Yes. The arms just go flying.
Like you put Lindsay out in front of a car dealership, and she just, hey, everybody, come here. Sam, what were those two? What were those two Chicago Fire names, players' names that you you read them flawlessly and quickly? And I was like, he's been practicing those names.
Household names,
sure.
Bastian Schweinsteiger,
of course,
who's German. And Nemanja Nikolic, who is from Serbia.
He's even doing the hand movements. That's, I do that, too, when you're, like, really trying to. I can see. Yeah, you look like the.
Everybody's flailing about this morning. That's fine. I'm, you know, I just want to curl up in a ball. But I now all the energy from between Lindsay and Sam and Domati.
Well, Domati kicks Mike his legs. You can't see them under the table.
Well, that's because he's very tiny and he sits on a big Edith Ann, like Edith Ann rocking chair to do the news.
It's very true.
So his feet just dangle. It looks very innocent and childlike, and I enjoy it quite a bit. I'm afraid he's going to fall off and hurt himself. It's almost like a high chair with a baby.
It's so true. I've got it down to a science.
Are you strapped in at least?
I'm strapped in.
All right, good.
I'm strapped
in. I don't want anybody getting hurt on my watch. Whatever you listen, at 10 o'clock when Williams comes in, you could fall down. You could hurt yourself. You could poke yourself in the eye. That's fine. But while I'm here, nobody gets hurt. Nobody.
Not on your watch.
I hope. Yes, please. Because then I'd have – not only would I have to give Lou back rubs, then there'd be some other chores that I – well, you let my news guy get hurt while you were here. You know, and,
then you have to give me leg rubs, so you know.
Well, you guys were worried about the kilt. Yeah, you guys were worried about the kilt stories getting creepy. Now Domati is like, a little higher on the thigh. That would be that'd be fantastic. That's how I like it.
More oil, please.
Let's do a flooring question. Sure. Well,
nice transition.
Oh, Sam, I'm nothing if not a professional. guys, I need to lay down some quarter-inch plywood underlayment, and that's not a euphemism, to prepare for pergo flooring. What's the best way to attach it to a 3/4-inch original plywood floor?
Well, we were first questioning why he was putting that in, the quarter-inch. If he's trying to stiffen the floor, it's probably not enough to stiffen the floor, you know, if he has a lot of bounce. And is it, you know... Pergo is one of those terms that's been thrown around a lot. Is it a true pergo floor, which is a laminated floor, or is he just talking about a thin floor product?
Oh, okay.
You know, because they make engineered wood floors and things like that. So that would kind of make a difference too. But normally, if we're putting down an underlayment, I like to use a stapler. The staple that we use has a glue on it, so when you dry it, when it gets driven in, it heats the glue and bonds. But if you're trying to really stiffen things up because the floor bounces too much, then you'd want to glue and screw it.
Okay.
Yeah, and the staple gun, I just might add, just it's a pneumatic staple gun.
Yes.
Not a crown. Yeah. Not a crown staple gun. Not an office stapler.
Yeah, because
you're going
like every
6 inches. Swing line and just slap it?
Yeah. These are like 3/8 to, or excuse me, like 1/2-inch long staples, excuse me.
Yeah. All right.
So depending on what he's trying to accomplish, if it's just to build up the floor, maybe for height, you can staple it. If he's trying to stiffen it, 1/4 inch isn't going to add a lot to stiffening unless he glues and screws it down.
Glue and screw. That's the buzzwords for today.
Okay.
Sam, write that down. Let's get back to the phones. Roberta's been hanging on. She is in Morton Grove with a fireplace question. Good morning, Roberta.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
I have a fireplace in my living room that I have not used for 10 years. It was smelling, so I called a chimney sweep. They cleaned it out. And then he went on top of the roof, and he checked the back of the chimney, which needs a lot of tuck pointing, which they're willing to do, and repair a crack in the crown. Now, some of the brick below the roof line is turning white. So I know there has to be dampness in there.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the things that they have suggested is to have a waterproofing spray put on that would protect it from the rain.
Yeah, there's products out there that I've seen for masonry. It's a spray on, like a hand sprayer,
sealer.
Yeah, and it'll seal that brick from taking water in. But if the moisture is coming from the inside going out, you're still going to have some issues. And it almost sounds like that might be what the problem is, that it's taking moisture all the way through it, because she said it's below the roof line. That seemed kind of funny.
But where does the moisture then come from? He had said that sometimes this stuff starts with the air conditioning.
With the air conditioning.
Yeah,
well, I can see it coming. You know, if that chimney shares with your water heater and your furnace and things like that, sometimes you can get moisture condensation issues from it.
Okay.
So it might be a situation where the liners are either broken or not functioning anymore, and moisture's coming out of the liner. You know, you'll have a flue inside there, a metal pipe inside that chimney, and if moisture's coming out from that, it can start from the inside of the chimney and work its way out.
Okay.
Yeah, the water heater goes through.
Yeah.
Through the chimney, but not the furnace does not, because I have a 92% and it goes out.
That's
the top. Okay.
That's probably where your problem is, to be honest. Do you have a liner in the chimney?
Yes.
You do. Okay.
They did put a liner in, but he said it was aluminum. Now, is there different types?
No,
stainless
fine.
Steel and aluminum are the two that I've seen. But now he just put that liner in. It wasn't in there before.
Oh no, this has been in here for 10 years when the furnace was put in.
Okay. Well, if your chimney guy is inspecting that and he says everything's fine, then maybe it's an issue where it's just on the outside if it doesn't get a lot of sun, whatever, and the ceiling might help it, but. Just the way you described it to me, it almost sounded like the moisture's coming from the inside. So that's why I would question it.
So what should she ask the chimney guy? Are there specific things she should be saying, look at this?
Certified chimney sweep?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah, I don't know if I shouldn't mention names or something, but I called one of the main stores that sell chimney equipment, et cetera, and this is the person that they recommended.
Okay.
The only thing I would say is there is a difference. Is there also a fireplace on this chimney?
Yeah. Well,
the fireplace is in my living room, which was smelling, which is why I called the chimney sweep.
So the fireplace is not the same flue as the hot water heater.
Correct.
So when you say they clean the chimney, I'm not sure if they cleaned just the fireplace chimney. It is a little unusual for them to clean the flue for where the hot water heater would be venting.
They had a big vacuum and they went up the chimney from the living room.
Yes.
Right.
So the flue we're talking about.
Think of your chimney as a kind of a shell. And it has different flues in it, different pipes. One is for your fireplace. One is going to be for your furnace. One would be for your water heater, possibly.
Right.
Sometimes
they'll
combine
the
two.
Yeah, they never join, other than in the box. But they're all on their own separate flues.
Right. So if one of those is defective, that could be causing the problem. But most of the time that I've seen with chimney sweeps is when they check one, they check it all.
Oh, right. Well, they're reputable outfits.
Yeah. Well, if he's they are certified chimney sweep, that would at least know that they know what they're looking at. But ask them if they've checked everything, if they only looked at the fireplace or if they checked those other things for you also. Just tell them for the flue for your furnace and water heaters.
Good luck, Roberta.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. All right, we're going to take a quick break. More of your questions, 312-981-7200. Mike Holmes is here from Creative Carpentry Remodelers. It's creativecarpentry.net. And Jim Sullivan is here with Tate Enterprises, TateENT.com. I will give those guys the opportunity to help you out more. On the other side, it's WGN.
Come on over here, Ron. Let me show you what I'm doing. Taking advantage of some of the time off to add a whole new wing on here. I'm going to rip these walls out and, of course, rewire it.
Yeah, you're going to make it all 220?
Yeah, 220, 221, whatever it takes.
Well, you sound like a pretty handy guy.
Now back to Lou on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It makes you want to cry. This hour of the Mr. Fix-It Show is sponsored by wetandforget.com and Fox Home Center. Brian Noonan in for Lou today. Mike Holmes and Jim Sullivan are here answering your questions. 312-981-7200 is how you get a hold of us. Every time I'm with you guys, we'll answer a question early in the show, and then it kind of becomes a recurring theme throughout the show. Today, obviously, tankless water heaters are the big topic of conversation. Tom is in Logan Square. Hi, Tom. Good morning, Tom.
Oh, here I am.
Hi, Tom.
Good morning, guys. How you
You
doing?
Are in the middle of some big get-together, it sounds like.
Yeah, I had to walk out from it. Yeah, I'm actually out near Magnolia, Illinois. At a retreat for the weekend. And,
there you go.
But actually, it's fun. I live in Logan Square in a coach house, and we got a tankless water heater recently. I'm on the second floor, and I only have like three water outlets, the bathtub, the bathroom sink, and the kitchen. And I get hot water in the bathroom, but the kitchen sink, I cannot get the tank to kick on. Unless I, like, take the head off the faucet. I have, like, a gooseneck with the hose that pulls out and the sprayer and all that thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just a pressure thing. If I put the head back on, the hot water will not kick on. I don't know if we have to get more pressure to the house or I got to change the faucet or what it is.
Yeah, it's really interesting. I mean, they do kick on based on flow, not pressure. So... That would be interesting. Have you tried, how do you have decent flow from the faucet, or is the aerator all junked up with debris? Or
I actually took all that out of it. The bathroom sink wouldn't kick on either, so I took the old, the little screen and all that out of it, and then it worked fine because it would flow more.
Is it an older building?
It's an older building. It's an older coach house. It's probably 90 years old or something. So
pipe temperature.
The water pressure's never been that good. Like we have if people in the front house, like we're in the coach house, are using water up there or something, a lot of times ours almost goes off.
Yeah.
So maybe that's part of the problem.
I'm not sure. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's adjustable. You might try, one suggestion I would have, you might try contacting the manufacturer and see if there's a way to lower the threshold for when it kicks on. It's possible that maybe.
Yeah, that's my question.
Yeah, and I'm not sure. I mean, there's a lot of electronics inside there, and I'm not sure that you would be able to do it yourself, but I'm wondering if they could, if there were a tech who had, a computer that he could plug into it, if they could lower the threshold for when it kicks on. If you've already tried changing the aerators, the only other thing I can think is I'm just wondering maybe if you have some valve issues in the on the faucets where they're not opening very far.
I replaced them under the sink.
Okay, right.
On off valve. Yeah. I replaced those because I figured they were really old. I thought that would solve it.
Yeah.
Well, the age of the house too. It's probably all galvanized pipe, and
right.
I've seen it where, after all of those years, you'll have originally the inside of that pipe may be able to fit the size of your finger. And now if you could get, a pencil through there, you'd be surprised.
That's exactly what the bathroom was when I switched those valves out. I had to clean that out. It was like a little bigger than a pinhole through there, it looked like.
And the only thing that you can do besides replacing all the pipe is if you take the aerators out of the faucets, shut your water off, and then turn it on fast, shut it off, turn it on fast, shut it off. Sometimes it'll break some of that stuff loose. But keep in mind, you also have the potential that if a big piece breaks off, it can clog something and then not have any water.
Like those new valves I put in.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. And if I turn on the bathroom one, then I can get hot water in the kitchen because kick it on, you know what I mean?
Like Jim said, I've never known them to be pressure sensitive. They're flow sensitive. But maybe call a customer service. They might be able to say, we can change the flow rate on it, and that might solve your problem.
Okay.
Good luck, Tom.
Thank you so much, guys.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
Mike, I like that. Turn the water off, but all I can picture is me doing that, and on the third time, everything just going...
Yeah, the handle breaks off.
And the water is shooting everywhere and pipes are exploding. Yeah. But that's really if you have galvanized, because in my house in California, we had that where we had galvanized. And it got to a point where
many mineral deposits.
Yeah, everybody down the block, everybody was getting repiped at the same time because the water was just getting so bad. So there's no other way. I mean, you can try that experiment and see, but other than repiping, that's it.
My last house was from 1921, and I had that same problem, and I did the flush of it, and it did help.
Okay.
But it was still, it was a two-story home, and it still had a lot of issues, and I ended up just having to replumb it all. Boy, what a difference.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, sure. Once you get the new pipes in there, man, then you're rolling. Jim Sullivan is here, Tate Enterprises, TateENT.com, and Mike Holmes is here from Creative Carpentry Remodelers, CreativeCarpentry.net. The guys will be answering more of your questions on the other side of the news, 312-981-7200. That's the phone. That's the text. That's the Mr. Fix-It Show on WGN.
I did was turn on the water.
That doesn't sound good. Okay, so the plumbing's not perfect. We'll get it fixed. It's not the end of the world.
You're listening to Lou Manfredini on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. It is the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN. I'm Brian Noonan. Lou is not here today. He'll be back with you next week, but I am not alone, thankfully. Mike Holmes is here from Creative Carpentry Remodelers, creativecarpentry.net, and Jim Sullivan is here from Tate Enterprises, tateent.com. They are the men who will answer your questions if you get a hold of us at 312-981-7200. I admire the optimism of Tom Hanks in that clip because everything's the end of the world.
Well, it started that way. By the end,
yes,
of that
movie. Oh, he was crazy. But yes, I like that because I'm sure I'm like a lot of people. You guys probably not because you've seen it all. Me, something like that happens, I'm like, oh, it really is the end of the world. What's gonna happen? I don't know what to do.
It's like that commercial where the woman's just running around screaming. That's.
It's like I always look like Macaulay Culkin in Home Alone when he slaps his face like that's. Anything that goes wrong, turn off the water. I could turn off the water, turn off the electric. I could shut the place down and put us back at baseline.
That's one of the best things to know. I wish more people knew those things because you say, you know, where's your water shut off? I don't know.
And oh my
that's
goodness.
The first place you want to go when something's leaking. Exactly. Just go there and shut down the house.
Shut everything off. Yeah. And then I just walk away. That's why I live in a tent now because it just got to a point I was like, I shut everything down. We had to keep moving. All right. We've got people who have been waiting, so I'm going to quit flapping my soup coolers and get to the phones. Annette has been hanging on. She's in Chicago. Good morning, Annette.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for taking my call. My question is I'm contemplating and getting estimates for a roof. Have had some shingles fall off the 3-tab. My concern is actually now it's been brought to my attention of the chimney. The house is 112 years old. It's a brick home. The chimney, original brick, was knocked down. I have the largest, highest chimney on my block because I have a bigger home. I wonder if that makes that a difference. There is that white stuff that has been coming out for years, but now it is more pronounced. So the new cinder blocks are sitting on top of the old brick that's in the attic, which is unfurnished and uninsulated. And I had one guy come out and tell me, I don't know who to trust. They're just saying put the flashing on and you know, cover the those other little pipes, whatever they are. I need to know somebody that really, I don't know if I heard the lady before about inside, you know, maybe condensation coming from the inside. When I had a man come over, he told me that, well, you do have a liner. But, I mean, he just showed me like a dome thing that's behind my furnace that is only 80% proficient, and the outside below the fascia, those step bricks that go down are all, they were covered in the 30-some-odd years I've lived here with the cement. One guy wants to chip off the cement, tell me what it's made of, and then... He's a roofer, but he said your chimney needs to be taken care of first before you put on a new roof. What is the procedure when your chimney is leaking? I mean, not leaking, but showing so much of that. Do you just cover it up with this cement stuff, or do you actually have to have a whole new chimney so they have to take this highest chimney down and start from, I don't know what to do.
The age of your house is probably why the gentleman was saying something about knowing what the concrete was made out of, because mortar was made differently and you can't always mix those mortars because you can cause more damage.
Oh.
But the first thing I would do is have a chimney, a certified chimney sweep come out, because they're going to be able to take a look at that and know what's going on. Where do you live? What town?
Well, it's actually the town of Berwyn.
Berwyn? Oh. Okay. I'm not sure. I use Valley Chimney Sweep. Terry Dearborn, he's awesome. There's other people out there, but you can look up at a Chimney Sweeps Guild and find certified chimney sweeps. But Terry I've known for 30 years. He's really good. and just have somebody come out and do an inspection on it, and they'll give you, if you got somebody likes of that, like Terry, who's certified mm-hmm. and knows what he's talking about, he's going to give you the right information, tell you the right way to do it so that you don't have any other issues. And then I would follow up with the roof, because if you do the roof first and they have to do any work on that chimney, they're standing on your brand new roof. So have the chimney sweep come out first.
And you said, Mike, they Annette can look up Chimney Sweep Guild, and they'll give you a list of some local in case Valley Chimney Sweeps doesn't make it out to Berwyn.
Yes, and that's going to be your first step, I think.
Sweeps. Okay. Well, great. Thank you very much. And his name, again, was Terry?
Terry Dearborn.
D-A-R-E?
Dearborn, yes. Yes.
D-E-A-R-E.
Yep. Good luck, Annette.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome. Yeah, that's when you've got all those different jobs, there has to be a procedure. You know, like you say, you want to do this first, because if not, you want to pull in bricks and things off on your brand new roof.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, and you don't want to have the roofer come back, because that's such a small job for him that it's going to be really hard to fit that back in the schedule if the mason messed up the roof or whatever. So,
How often should people check if they have a fireplace chimney?
I say every year if you burn a lot of fires.
Okay.
But every 2-3 at the max.
Okay.
At the max.
And that's even if, now we were talking to somebody before who's there, a lot of stuff vented out that chimney. You said all different pipes, you said, but they're all, does that change the frequency with which you should get things checked, or is it all about the same?
No, because it really the main thing is fireplaces.
Yeah.
Because they have a lot of buildup of creosote. And
right.
If you burn a lot of fires, you want to do that every year.
Do those logs work when you see all those different?
I've heard that they're iffy.
Okay,
but I have seen issues where people don't clean them, and then one day you light a fire and it's just like a whoop. Oh. And it just sucks right out, and flames will shoot out the chimney.
Whoa,
which it shouldn't.
No,
so
even I know that.
So having that done is a good thing. Plus, not only are they cleaning it, they inspect it. So if something's starting to go wrong, they can address that issue.
The other chimneys and flues that we've talked about today, pertaining to your hot water heater or your furnace or whatever, they really only see carbon and gas. Okay. So they don't really get the buildup like a fireplace would have because the fireplace, from what I've been told, the fireplace buildup really happens from the burning of the wood, because the moisture in the wood comes out and then it gets in the smoke and then it sticks to the sides of the walls of the chimney and so on and so forth. Where the flues of your appliances, all they're burning is gas. So the only thing going out there is carbon and whatever the gases are as a byproduct.
But to inspect those to make sure they're still all fastened and not corroding, things like that.
Very nice. Let's go to Oak Brook. That's where Robert has been hanging on. Hi, Robert. Good morning.
Morning, guys. How are you?
We're good. Great.
I rent a home. I do not own this home, but my landlord says I have to maintain the outside. So in my front, where I planted everything, hostas and all kinds of good stuff, I constantly get grass growing out of there. My wife just spent like 2 hours de-weeding it. Now, I talked to the village, because a guy comes out all the time and he sprays the front of the property, because that's where the walk is, or the bike path, what have you. Now, he told me that anything that I can buy, now I'm a general contractor, so maybe you have some insight. Anything that I can buy at Ace Hardware, Home Depot, doesn't matter, only has 5% kill ratio. The village gets a hold of stuff that's 45% kill ratio.
Wow, that's a lot of killing.
So I have two problems. One, my wife just showed me her thumb. She just got ripped on the front. What is the best product that I could possibly buy to just get rid of the weeds and grass that constantly grow? Number two is, in the front of the property, they took down 3 trees, and I literally have 20 feet by 10 feet of tree limbs. Massive growth. I went out, I cut them, I dug them up, I flipped them over, and they're back again. Do you know of anything that I can use that, as a, you know, without being a commercial contractor, that I can use to kill them all?
Wow.
I'm serious.
I know you're serious, Robert, but this call took a very sinister turn. Yeah. I like it.
Okay. Normally, I'm not doing the gardening part of it. I do believe that it is true on what you can buy over the counter as opposed to if
Absolutely.
You're a contractor. But I'm not sure where you would go for that unless you maybe went to a wholesaler like Gardening Supply. Now, they may or may not sell to you, but that would be the first place I guess I would check on that. The tree, they cut the tree off. Is there still the main trunk of the tree at the ground?
Okay. Trust me, my landlord's cheap.
One thing that I've heard, and I've never tried it, but I've heard is if you drill a few holes into that, like take like a paddle bit kind of drill, 1 inch or so, and drill some holes into it and fill it with salt, then it will start killing off the tree roots and hopefully kill off everything else. And then what may end up happening down the road is all that land right there might start to sink as it all decomposes, but that should kill it from what I hear.
So the 10,000 tree lings that I have growing, which is just massive.
Well, most of them are going to be interconnected. I think I know the tree that you're talking about because I have the same problem at my house, and I have the tree in one corner of the yard, and there's like these things shooting up all over, and they're all connected. As you start pulling it, they all start heading back to the mom tree there. But if you can go to that and bore that out, I would think you'll probably kill at least most of it, if not all of it, if that does work from hearsay.
All right. Good luck, Robert. Hope it works out for you. I just, anytime you can use the phrase kill them all, on a nice Saturday morning, we're all sitting here on Michigan Avenue with beautiful day, kill them all.
Yes.
Kill them all.
But I do like the fact that if this does work, it's salt. It doesn't really hurt anything else. You don't have to worry about kids and pets and all
napalm
that.
No napalm involved, nothing.
Yep.
That's good.
That's fun to work with.
Napalm is fun to work with? All right, listen. You guys, man, the more we learn, we learn on a Saturday morning.
You should see when we do our company picnic together.
Just the entire forest preserve on fire. All right, we'll take a quick break. More of your questions, 312-981-7200. Mike Holmes and Jim Sullivan are here. I'm Brian Noonan. This is the Mr. Fix-It Show on 720 WGN.
Now back to your host, Lou Manfredini, on the Mr. Fix-It Show on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
It was a beautiful day. And disappointment sets in when we realize Lou is not here today. That's all right. Lou will be back next Saturday. I'm Brian Noonan. Mike Holmes and Jim Sullivan are here. They are answering your questions at 312-981-7200.
We love having you.
No, and I love being here. And Lindsay is back there. You know,
so
Lindsay is
fun.
Answering the phones and helping us out, as she always does, running the place, really. Thankless job. Or as Mike said, it's a tankless job because we have many more tankless water heater questions, gentlemen. I know you've been thinking, Brian, please, more tankless water heater questions. Okay, how about one from John? Hi, John.
Good morning.
Good morning. What's your
thanks
question?
Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
Simple question, I hope. I have my hot water system is 275-gallon tanks, you know, Siamese twin together.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the tanks went out, and when I went to replace it, I was talking to my plumbing contractor and said, you know, I'm thinking about going to a tankless water system, just replacing both. What do you think? And he said, it's not going to work because I have one of those circulating pumps that keeps the hot water, you know, to like all the bathroom faucets. So it's kind of like on demand.
Yep.
Is he right or wrong?
He's wrong.
Nice, Jim. That's it. He's wrong. He doesn't know what he's talking about.
So a couple of things.
That's kind of what I thought. I don't think he's very familiar with installing these.
It's a problem.
He's probably reluctant to do it.
You got it. A couple of things. The first thing, if I were in your shoes, the first thing I'd ask myself is, do I need 150 gallons of hot water? Do you have a huge bathtub somewhere that's 150 gallons that has to be filled every couple of days?
We have like 7 bathrooms and, yes, a very large jacuzzi tub.
Fair enough. So then the next thing, you will have to have somewhat of an engineered system, because in order to get that much hot water through your house, if you're going to do it in one central location, which because that's where your hot water heaters are now, you will have them all in one location. So you're going to need a system on a tankless unit that is modulating and also can also control more than one tankless hot water heater. So there are units out there that when the demand is so high for one, that a second one will kick on, and then the third one will kick on. If you have seven bathrooms going at the same time, you'll need that much flow. So that's number one. Number two, what your plumber would have been more correct to say is that with a recirculating pump, if you keep that pump on all the time, you'll have a gas bill that will be outrageous because it uses so much gas. But what you actually can do is the recirculating pump can actually be some of them come where they run on a timer. So it really is only recirculating hot water in the times that you want it to. So
mine is definitely on a timer. So it does not, you know, like in the middle of the night, it's not working.
Yep, exactly. So if you time it so that it comes on at 6 in the morning and it recirculates water for 15 minutes just to get the hot water into the pipes, it'll work just fine. In fact, the tankless hot water heater I have will actually control the recirculating pump.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
That's great. Thanks very much.
Yep,
good luck,
welcome.
John.
Have a great weekend. Thank you.
You
as well. 150 gallons seems like, because a regular water heater is like 45 gallons, right?
They come 40, 50, 75. Okay. So he has 275, so that's 150 gallons. And it's one of the issues with one of the problems, or things that people have a hard time understanding, I think is why people are hesitant with the tankless, is because everything on a tankless hot water heater has to do with what the need is.
Okay.
So, like, for example, my house, my tankless hot water heater can handle 10 gallons per minute. Okay, well, what does that mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? How do I do that math? Well, a standard shower fixture uses, if it's a newer shower fixture, it'll use 2.5 gallons per minute. But nobody takes a full hot shower, so it's always mixed with some cold water. So you would say that, you know, okay, so probably 70% of that is hot water. So it really means I'm using about 1.8 or maybe 2 gallons per minute per shower fixture. Okay. So at 10 gallons per minute, I could run 5 showers without any problems.
Right.
If you have more need than that, so a lot of people that need to shower at the same time, then you would do a multiple unit installation. But when you had a standard hot water heater, 40 or 50 or 75 gallons, that was never a concern. You didn't have to do the math to figure out what size hot water heater do I need if I go to a tankless technology. So someone does have to do some looking into your home, understand, you know, are your fixtures older? Are you using 10 gallons per minute in your shower? Or are you at 2.5 gallons per minute?
Size of your family.
Right,
all of
right. So there's a little bit of formula that has to go into it, but it's not incredibly hard.
And you said you were talking to John, and you talked about a timer,
mm-hmm.
Jim. So does that mean it will only create hot water at those times? So if I get up in the middle of the night, so it, you know, a weird day like today where I had to get up a little earlier, so I'm going to take my shower earlier than normal, does that mean you can't get hot water then? Or
No, what the timer is doing is it's
very dismissive of me, wasn't he, Mike? Very dismissive.
I think it was a good question.
It's a good question.
It's on my stupid question list.
So all the recirculating line is doing is it's circulating the hot water through the pipe, removing the cold water, pushing it back through the back to the hot water heater to heat it so that you have continuous hot water in the pipe all the time.
Right.
And when you have a standard hot water heater, there's really no additional cost to that.
Okay.
But when you have a tankless hot water heater that's using a lot of gas, to keep hot water flowing through your pipes all the time is essentially telling your hot water heater to run nonstop.
Nonstop, right.
And that's going to be a problem on your gas bill. So the timer is only going to kick on the recirculating line when you think you would normally use it.
Okay.
Other than that, it just functions as a normal hot water heater, meaning
that
it may take longer for the hot water to get to where you are than it would if the timer were running at the time when you set it to.
Okay. So we have a real quick, well, I think the answer will be quick. It's a text question. My neighbor has fleas coming out of the sump pump in the basement. Not my neighbor. I don't, you know. Is there something that can be put down the drain at night that would kill their eggs? Oh, another kill them all question.
Yes.
Yeah. 2.5 hours.
On their sump pump, you could put, normally it's a drain in the floor of the basement or whatever. I always recommend flushing it with some hot water for a while.
Okay.
I mean, hot water. Also, you can try doing a couple drops of dish soap in some warm water and pour that in there. The problem is if you pour too much into your sump pump, it's going to eject it right away,
yeah.
And then it's not in there. So you may have to play around with how much you pour in there, or try you can certainly do chemical spray, but I'm not big into that because the sump pump's going to kick it out into your lawn somewhere most likely. But maybe do some dish soap in a spray bottle, and spray all the walls of the sump pump, and then put a little bit into the pump water, just not so much that it kicks on your pump.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right, we got to take a break, and then we're going to have news on the other side. More of your questions answered. 312-981-7200 is the phone and the text. Mike Holmes is here, and Jim Sullivan is here. Mike is with Creative Carpentry Remodelers, creativecarpentry.net, and Jim is Tate Enterprises, TateENT.com. Those are the websites. That's how you get a hold of the guys when they're not here. We're not sitting in for Lou, but we are today, so we'll get the news after this on WGN.
Y'all got a problem? You know who to call.
I have a problem. When it rains, my window wells fill up with water.
It's the first time we've had central air conditioning, and we have sweaty ducks.
He's the man of Saturday mornings.
Lou, this is the most joyful show on the radio, I gotta tell you.
The Bomb Diggity.
Just wanted to thank you for some very good advice you gave me several months ago on a furnace.
Your dit-dit-daddy-o, Lou Manfredini, on Chicago's very own Radio 720 WGN.
You know I got it. Come and get it. Who's your daddy? Who's your baby? Who's your buddy? Who's your friend?
I like when Lindsay goes all country. Very nice. The final hour of the Mr. Fix-It show on WGN. Lou is not here, but I'll be your stepdaddy. Brian Noonan in for Lou today, along with Mike Holmes and Jim Sullivan. They're answering your questions, doing all the heavy lifting on the program. Lindsay's answering the phone. Sam and Domati are up there manning things. And this hour of the Mr. Fix-It show is sponsored by Rogers Roofing and Ace Hardware. All right, gentlemen, 312-981-7200. That's the number, as I told you. That's the phone and the text. Let's see what we got. Oh, you know, why not start the third hour as we've had calls the first and second hour? That's right. If you're just joining us.
Repeat.
It's tankless water heater day on the Mr. Fix-It show. Estelle is in Fox Lake. Good morning, Estelle.
Morning.
What's your question?
I live in a condo unit that's three stories high. We have a notorious problem with the three end units of not getting hot water. My question is, could we put a tankless unit in the middle of the three units that would serve all three? We have plumbing in the outside walls, which we've been told is a big no-no, so that's part of the problem. The recirculating pump has been tried and didn't work. Our bathrooms are fine. They're the interior units, and we get hot water fine there. So the big problem is those three kitchen units.
I'm sure you probably could, I would say that probably just sort of visualizing this in my head, I'm going to say the cost, it's going to be prohibitive. I'm guessing that is everybody sharing the same hot water right now? Like, is there one central boiler or something in the basement of this building, or where's the hot water heater being? Yeah,
precisely. It's a big tank in the basement, and it's just not getting the hot water hot to the units, the three units, and it's terrible in the winter months. Of course, we're right on the lake, so we get that cooling effect as well as just the fact that you're not supposed to have pipes in the outside walls.
If it's just the kitchens, you can put an under-counter heat on demand. So it's electric. It's just a smaller unit. It goes underneath your sink there, and it could operate just that sink. So even though you have your regular water heater, which would be heating it, this would be like a supplement to it, and it would just heat the water just to the kitchen faucet. Mm-hmm. And that wouldn't be real costly because you're not doing a lot of extra plumbing work and all of that, and it's obviously a much smaller unit. So that might be an option.
And put one of those in each of the three units?
You'd have to put one under each sink because it would just operate that sink.
Three under sink units. And do you have any recommendations about one type that might work better than another?
No, because it's not, that's going to be more your plumber I mean, we have ones that we use, but I would talk to who your plumber is. I always say, although there's a lot of good products out there, if you have a contractor and he's recommending a specific product, unless you've heard terrible, terrible things about it, I go with what they recommend because they're going to warrant, do the warranty work on it. They're going to stand behind their product. So, talk to your plumber and ask him about it and see if he's got any recommendations and go from there.
Well, good luck, Estelle.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Have a great day. So, but this is something you wouldn't want to. She's doing these because it's on an exterior wall. This isn't something a fix for if you're not getting hot water everywhere. You won't want to put these under every sink.
No. Your
the cost would
bill.
Go out the window. Yeah, if exactly. Crazy. Under each one. But if it's just that one and that's a regular problem, she always has an issue. But the rest are fine. With that kind of a situation, because it's a condo, it'd probably be easier to just put that in than try to replumb everything.
All right. Moving from water to the floor, Robin has a flooring question. Hi, Robin. Good morning.
Hey, good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good. Are you calling us from a wind tunnel?
Yeah. Can you hear me? I'm in the car.
Now we hear you. Yeah, that's great.
Sorry. No, I was just coming to see. We have a situation. We've been living in our house for like 5 years, and it's about a 12-year-old house. It's got hardwood flooring, the golden oak stuff in the kitchen and then in an entryway. But then it's got carpeting in a living room and dining room. And we have six dogs. And the flooring is – we just really think we need to switch up the flooring. And actually, the people before us raised Dalmatians. And so, I mean, the flooring's kind of taken a beating. And so what are your recommendations as far as we thought about that, like either engineered hardwood or the really nice new, you know, the vinyl plank, the, you know, kind of luxury vinyl plank, but didn't want to devalue, you know, our home. I don't know if that will make a big difference, but we've had people come in and gotten kind of some, you know, conflicting, you know, information as far as what's the best thing to do.
Well, the engineered floor is just going to be another wood floor. It's just a thinner version. Unless you did something like a maple, it might be a little harder wood. You're still going to have the same issues. The vinyl floors that we were talking earlier about, the premium vinyl flooring, that stuff's pretty resilient to the dogs. Or a laminate flooring, you know, which is kind of like your old countertop. It's a plastic thing, but they've come a long way too. They're not so ugly, but those are very durable also, unless you want to go to the stone or ceramic.
Okay. Yeah. And then that's the thing is, you know, we were concerned because they were talking about, you know, if we don't really take up basically everything, we'd have to have all these transition pieces put in because they can't guarantee, like if we ended up putting just hardwood everywhere and just refinishing our kitchen floor, you know, it wouldn't necessarily, they couldn't guarantee that they could match things up.
Yeah. Because you also have to deal with your doorways, all your exterior doors. Especially like sliding glass doors and that, it's hard to raise those up. So you would have to either take out your existing floor and add new or something very thin.
Okay. Is that luxury vinyl? I mean, I've heard people talking about it. Do you think it's something that would bring down the value of our home? It's not a, I mean, it's a, we live out in the country. And so, I mean, it's not like we live in a Chicago or something where the housing is a little more higher priced. We're probably median range.
You know, if you were putting in a cheap vinyl, I would say yes. But these premium vinyls, they're not inexpensive. You know, you're paying some money. Yeah. It's $3 a square foot and up kind of thing.
Yep.
And that's just the product. So you're not going to really cheap out on it. But that would go over the wood floor fine. You know, rough up the existing floor a little bit, and then they can glue that down. That would certainly work, and they'd look sharp.
How about the area where the carpeting is? They'd probably have to put down some plywood or something to raise it up, or
if you're going with just that on the wood floor now, on your existing wood floor, you're only going up eighth of an inch at most.
Oh, okay.
So it may not even affect it if your carpet's already a little higher than the wood floor. If it kind of goes up, you put that on, it'll almost be level or, you know, still under.
Yeah, because I think we'd like to replace the whole thing and just go with that. We're having a harder time. Maybe is it better to match up with the flooring, with what the flooring, you know, with what you have, like with that golden oak, or are there, is there enough out there that we could probably find something that would be just kind of go with that, or kind of look good against it? Or
I would not try to match. If you're going to leave any of that wood flooring,
Not on the main floor.
Then do whatever you want. If you're going to take out the carpet, yeah, you'll have to build up the carpet to match the existing wood floor before you put the vinyl floor down. But I try not to have people change their wood surfaces too much in a space, especially like in an entry. You've got wood, you got carpet, you got some ceramic and this. It gets very, very harsh on the eyes. You don't really realize it, but it's a lot going on. So I try to keep it minimal. Don't get too many mixes in there. But it sounds like your best idea, take everything out, level it out, and put in the vinyl, and I think you'll be happy.
All right. Well, good luck, Robin.
That sounds great.
Thanks a lot.
Have a great day, guys.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right, let's take a quick break. More questions answered. 312-981-7200. Mike Holmes is here. Jim Sullivan is here. I'm here. Everybody's here. It's the Mr. Fix-It Show.
It's the place to be.
It is the place to be. So we'll come back and be in the place we need to be.
Every day, my family and I apply lessons learned from Lou Manfredini, your Mr. Fix-It. Now, 15 years later, our lives is better. Previously, we were living under a snuggie hung over a phone line above the outbound Edens. Today, we're still there, but it's got central air, triple-pane windows, and a place to plug into George Foreman. My name is John Williams. I'm a major market radio personality. Thank you, Mr. Fix-It.
Now back to Mr. Fix-It with Lou Manfredini on Chicago's WGN Radio 720.
John keeps working these Saturday shifts. He'll be able to afford to get out from under that overpass and maybe move into a Quonset hut or something. That would be nice. Brian Noonan in for Lou Manfredini. Mike Holmes is here from Creative Carpentry Remodelers, creativecarpentry.net. And Jim Sullivan is here. He's Tate Enterprises, Tate.com.
That's right. Two E's in the middle.
Two E's. I don't know why it threw me off this time. I've been saying it all morning. See, 9:20 is where it all comes off the rails for me. 2 hours and 20 minutes is about my...
Is that when the caffeine starts wearing off?
Yeah, that's everything. Now I get groggy. Maybe I put on the kilt. Maybe I just leave my pants off altogether. Who knows? Yeah. But the good thing is I don't have to worry about that because you guys are here. And we've got a real quick tankless water heater question on a text. Can you put one in without a water softener?
Yes.
All right. That's nice and easy. Done. Yes, you can, Texter. You definitely can. Let's talk to Anthony. He's in Chicago. Good morning, Anthony.
How you doing, Ryan?
We are great. Thanks.
I got a quick question. I just purchased a townhome. I've got an ant situation, and I'm not talking just like 10 or 20 or 100. I'm talking thousands of ants.
They never travel just alone.
Okay, where are they?
Well, they're coming along out of the dirt. And just right, like, towards the front door, and then I assume they're going into the basement, which is my next place to check. But, I mean, they're just thousands of them going in, thousands of them coming out. So what can I put to repel them away from the house, and then is there something that I can kill them with?
A shoe. No.
That would have been my answer. No fair, Mike. I had one answer and you stole it.
I saw you write it down.
That's right. It's on the sheet. Oh, man.
Well, the ants need two things. They need food and water. So if they're coming into the house, you have both of those. So something's either leaking or you're getting water coming in from, you know, rains. And then the second is going to be the food source, which is usually the wood. They kind of like channel out the wood. They go, I'm sorry, I don't know all the technical terms, but they'll basically go down the cores, almost like arteries of the wood, and they eat all of that out. Now, if you go into the basement, usually you can find the signs of them. You'll see what looks like brown or black sand. That's all of the spent wood that they've taken out that they don't eat. And they'll start piling it up outside, and that's going to tell you where they're at. So the things that you need to do is get rid of the water source. So if you've got something leaking, windows leaking, or siding, or pipes, or whatever, you got to get that fixed. Then I would just go ahead and spray. Question for you on the outside, is there brick pavers?
No.
Okay.
No, there's concrete stairs. Just two stairs.
Okay. Does any of that concrete besides the foundation? Does the concrete stairs or the pad for the step to the house, does that go up to any of the wood of the house?
No, I think the front door, the trim goes down to the step.
Okay, because sometimes what will happen is they'll do like pavers or concrete, and they'll go right up to wood, like the siding or whatever of the house, and that's going to trap all of that moisture when it rains so that wood never dries. That's like the ultimate place for them to start. So anybody who piles their mulch up against the side of the wood part of the house or has brick pavers or concrete that goes up to the wood part of the house, that's a no-no. That's where you're going to start getting ant problems. So see if you can find the source. Look around in the basement, and if you can find that, just start spraying, and then you also have to eliminate that water source. That's the main thing. And then the wood that's wet has to get dry.
What do you spray it with?
I would just go with traditional ant spray. You can buy it at the box stores, Ace Hardware.
Okay.
I know Lou likes the brand Taro, T-E-R-R-O.
Taro.
There you go.
Will it kill them all? Because that's the theme of this morning.
Kill them all.
Tankless water heaters and kill them all.
Yeah.
If you take two things away from this morning's Mr. Fix-It show, and the third may be, these guys really went out on a limb. I'm not a fan. Anthony, hope that helps.
Okay, thank you very much.
Take care. Cliff is in Indiana. Hello, Cliff.
Hi, good show.
Thank you.
I got a question about, it's an electric point of use water heater. It's portable. I've seen it in an industrial supply magazine. I like this thing. You can put it anywhere, and my water heater is pretty hard to get at, in and out, weighs a couple hundred pounds. And I'd like to replace it with this thing. I've never seen these in a big box store. And they 8 gallons per minute with a 3-foot rise, and it has its own pump in it. Have you guys heard of these or any experience with them?
No, I've never heard of it. Like it runs on 110 volts?
Yeah. Well, one puts out 1,000 watts, one puts out 1,500 watts. And
is this a portable unit you're saying?
Yeah, you could just carry this thing and set it where you need it, like I said, for a bath or a shower. But I was just thinking of replacing my water heater with this thing. It is so cool. Like I said, it's in a big industrial supply magazine.
You said it has a pump on it, too?
Yes. It pumps 8 gallons a minute.
So does it have a tank or something that actually holds water that it's heating? Why does it need a pump, I guess, is what I'm trying to figure out. Does it not connect in line in the water supply?
That's another thing I'd like to know is how much water it forces out of it. It looks like it must have like a controlled.
Because there's,
you can even adjust the heat for it. It's really cool.
Yeah, there are. The only thing I can think that, and that's what I'm trying to picture in my head. I mean, that there are companies out there that make instant hot water heaters for like cups of coffee and stuff like that. That's a plug-in unit that goes under your sink.
If it's an industrial magazine or sales, it might be, you know, a vat where they have a big tank of water. It's not pressurized.
Right.
It's just gravity fed to, you know, like the landscapers put on the back of their truck kind of thing. But this would be something in a factory maybe.
Yeah.
But I've never seen it. But I don't know if it could handle a whole house on a 24-hour basis. You'd have to call the manufacturer and talk to them.
All right. Well, let's we'll let Cliff ruminate on that, and you guys can talk about it. He's on hold because, you know.
Yeah, we're getting the bums rush.
I'm yelling at you.
The bums rush? I don't know. Listen,
we're
let's
back
do
to the
this.
Kilt thing, aren't
exactly.
we?
Exactly. Oh, it's almost time to unveil it. Let's do this, and it'll be news time. It's WGN.